Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. You know, every time we show up, God's got, he's excited, and we should be excited too. Amen. Praise God. So we're just so thankful for you being here. We're thankful for those that are joining us via virtually online, either Facebook, YouTube, our website, or the church online platform, wherever you're watching from. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We thank you so much for being online. Do us a great favor and let us know, put the word welcome or say hi to us that you're watching, that you're listening. It's such an honor and a privilege to be able to come wherever you're at, whatever state you're at, wherever country you're in, or wherever location you're at right now. We appreciate you doing that. And if you would, if you're here, check in and like us and let people know that we're on and that you're ready to receive. You're at church on a Wednesday night. Praise God. We're so excited about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we always encourage you to do that, and we always label you a digital evangelist. Be a good digital evangelist for us tonight by letting others know that you're in church or that you're here at Triumph Word Christian Center checking in. All right, let's get right into the word. Thank you, Lord, that your word will impart and impact hearts and lives like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Give you all the glory and honor and praise for it. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We're just going to dive into six verses tonight. We're going to unpack them. We believe the Lord will unpack some understanding and truth and impartation to you. And so we're going to be talking about two kinds of two wisdoms. Two wisdom. Everybody say two wisdoms. And so I'm going to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, revealed to us and spoken through this vessel of clay, utterance will be given to you to discern and distinguish that wisdom that you operate in on a regular, on a daily consistent basis, either comes from heaven or comes from hell. So the wisdom, I'll say it again, that you operate in on a regular, on a the things that you do and decide consistently is based from a wisdom either from above or from beneath. All right, so wisdom is so critical to our daily life experience, and we'll explain that a little bit more later. Verse 13, James chapter 3, verse 13, we read down to verse 18, New King James Version. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. So in other words, we have to imply and infer that the wisdom that you receive should descend from above. You shouldn't be getting downloads from heaven of wisdom. He said, but this is earthly, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. Everybody say earthly, sensual, demonic. That comprises the three major components of the wisdom that comes from below. For where envy and strife exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above, everybody say, Lord, help me discern and distinguish and make a decision of quality to receive only wisdom from above. All right, praise God. So he said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. All right, so That'll take us up to chapter 4, which we'll cover next time we're teaching. But praise God. Two wisdoms. Two wisdoms. Now let's read these verses in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. It says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. Good works and humility comes from wisdom. I'll say it again. Good works, not dead works, not disobedient works, but good works and humility. Now, the opposite is pride. Pride is the strength of sin and is the fabric of selfishness. And it's the baseline for strife, self-seeking or selfish ambition. I'll say it again. Pride is the strength of sin and is the very fabric of selfishness. And it is the baseline or the bedrock of selfish ambition or self-seeking behavior. That's a lot to take in, I know. But he said, if you're bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover it up, the truth, with boasting and lying. For jealousy and, talking about envy, and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil, and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. Everybody say, I'm supposed to plant seeds of peace, not problems, not pride. I'm supposed to plant seeds of peace, not problems, and not pride. He says, plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. See, we see the law of sowing and reaping incorporated in whatever wisdom you're operating. There's two wisdoms, one's from below, one's from hell, one's from heaven, one's from God, one from Satan. And it determines what seeds you sow and the harvest you're going to reap. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, wisdom was an important thing to Jewish people. They realized it was not enough just to have knowledge. You had to have wisdom to be able to use the knowledge correctly. Now, we're in an information age, kind of like an information superhighway, right? We have a lot of information at your fingertips. You have many web browsers or web applications, Google, as we know, Microsoft Edge. Thank God for them. But sometimes you can think that's wisdom when it's just knowledge. And see, back in Jewish culture, they used to require all the kids in rabbinical school, in little elementary, middle school, we would call it today, elementary or junior high school, middle school, they would be required to learn and memorize Proverbs. Because that's the book of wisdom. It's a book of poetry, but it's a book written and scribed through poetry to outline the acts and practical actions of wisdom. Amen. How the wisdom works out. It's a good idea to always teach our children, grandchildren, Proverbs. So they make wise choices and they know where wisdom should come from and how to distinguish and determine between the two. So you got to apply knowledge correctly, because we know little children, even like our grandson, who can be four years old, can get so smart, but they don't have any wisdom. They know a lot of stuff, but they don't have any wisdom. How directly talk to people, apply things, make decisions about things. All of us know people who are very intelligent, perhaps almost geniuses, do we not? And yet they seemingly are unable to carry out the simplest tasks of life. They're really smart, they're really sharp, but we would call the opposite of wisdom foolish. Foolish in their decision making, foolish in their discernment, foolish in their directions that they're going in life. Are you listening to me? And so they can program computers, but they can't manage their own lives. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. So right now we need to understand, am I getting wisdom? And then secondarily, where am I getting wisdom from? Am I getting wisdom? Am I getting most of my wisdom on social media? Because if we spend a lot of time there, we're going to be getting some form of wisdom. But we have to distinguish and decide, where is it coming from? Is it coming from above or is it coming from below? Are you listening to me? Are we getting most of our wisdom through TV, through the internet, or the, you know, web, World Wide Web? And so we get a lot of knowledge. James continued to exhort the people in the assembly of the church who wanted to be teachers of the word in James 3:1. It's not enough to simply stand before people and say words. Because today we have the capability to talk to a whole bunch of people. You can make one post on social media and it can reach hundreds and thousands of people. But we don't know, or you may not know, whether it's wise to do that or the opposite, unwise. See, you must have something to say, because we know what we do, what we decide, what we dictate through our lips, there's consequences to it. There's consequences to it. We're going to fuel either one thing or the other. We're going to fuel hell's agenda, or we're going to fuel heaven's agenda. This is where spiritual wisdom comes in. True spiritual wisdom comes in. Knowledge enables us to take things apart, but wisdom enables us to put things together and relate to God's truth on a daily life. Amen. All of us have heard preachers and say teachers who say many good things, but somehow miss the heart of God's message and fail to relate truth to everyday life. It's the kind of knowledge without wisdom that James is writing about here. And so he was contrasting true wisdom and false wisdom in three different aspects. False wisdom, earthly, sensual, and demonic. That doesn't come from above. In other words, we would say it this way, that does not come from God. Because some people are so smart in worldly knowledge, information. Now let's talk about the contrast between the two wisdoms. I'm going to read this section of scripture again out of the Passion Translation. So I want to give you three different perspectives of it so you can get a holistic view of this wisdom. It says in the Passion Translation, verse 13, if you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never brag or boast about what you have done, and you'll prove that you're truly wise. If there is a if there is bitter jealousy and competitive hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. So wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will find many troubles and every kind of meanness. But true wisdom from above is always pure, filled with peace, considerate, teachable. It is filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form, and it always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts. Not prideful acts, peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. Now, we always said we're supposed to be peacemakers, peace seekers, peace keepers. That's our peace agenda. He told the disciples when he sent them out two by two and going to towns and villages and places in people's homes, he said, tell them peace be with you. Bring command peace to be there. When you walk into a room, it shouldn't cause things to heat up and stir up in a negative way. Because you know when some people come into a scenery of a context of a room or house or a group of people, they can cause problems because they start running their mouth. But you're not supposed to be the problem solver, causer. You're supposed to be the problem solver. I'll say that again because I got my tongue twisted up. So you're not supposed to be the problem causer. You're supposed to be the problem solver. You're not supposed to be the troublemaker, but the peacemaker. So you can just look at the behavior. When you call and talk to people, particularly in the family context, your own family, family members, your close relatives or friends, if there's always contention there, then there's probably not the wisdom of God there. Amen. So James, by the Holy Spirit, in this passage, presents a dramatic contrast between earthly and heavenly wisdom. People's lives reflect the source of their wisdom. I'll say it again. People's lives reflect the source of their wisdom. So God's wisdom or heavenly wisdom are those who have a right and righteous relationship with God. What is the reflection? Understanding, concern for others, demonstrating the wisdom of heaven. Everybody say it with me. Understanding, concern for others. Now, you got to remember what I said. Pride is the strength of sin, and it's the very fabric of selfishness. Or self-centeredness, you might even say. And it is the baseline or the bedrock of what? Selfish ambition or strife. See, when you're operating in peace, you're not operating in pride. But peace comes from the God of peace and the Prince of peace and the Spirit of peace who are operating through you by grace because you're humble. But when you have understanding that, hey, I can't operate like the world operates and respond to situations like the world responds, I've got to be concerned with others, not just concerned about myself, me, myself, and I. And then I've got to demonstrate the wisdom of heaven. Now, what is the wisdom of heaven? He gave us seven things that demonstrate or that are characteristics of the wisdom from God or the wisdom from heaven. Write these seven things down if you want to. If you don't have to, but, you know, write these seven things down. Number one, he said they were pure. Now, you have to understand this at first and foremost, that the supply of God's wisdom never runs dry. God never runs out of wisdom. Even if you're in a hard or a heavy burdened place, God's wisdom never runs dry. That's why I've always said, and I've learned it from one of our instructors at Rhema, he said, wisdom is something you should ask for and petition for every single day. It should be something you ask for and petition for every day. You know, we know from James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You don't ask your friends for wisdom. Don't come to me and as your pastor and ask for wisdom. He said, ask from God. So we all should be talking to God and asking him, requesting that he give us an abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom. Amen. Now, it never runs dry. Continually comes from above to meet the demands of the hour. Because we know each day is different. None of us can predict the future and know what's going to hit ahead of us tomorrow or next week. That's why you need wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. But the first characteristic of wisdom is that it's pure. Purity is the first in James' list because heavenly wisdom is based on God's holiness. He is morally blameless and therefore incapable of producing evil. So you know it's pure, so it's not, you know how we say and we hear from movies or different phrases, that's just pure evil. Now that's, I know that's kind of oxymoronish, but you know, God's wisdom is pure. That means it has no percentage of evil. Woo. It's 100%. We say 100% pure beef. 100%, you know, there's no preservatives or no additives in here. This wisdom from God is pure, 100% pure wisdom. Hallelujah. That means it's not tainted with evil. Evil is anything or anyone that would take you away from your God-intended purpose plan or plan for your life. So God's not going to give you something that's going to take you away from him and his plan for your life. It is pure. Number two, it says wisdom is peaceable. We just read it earlier. True peace is always an outgrowth of purity. I'll say it again. True peace is always an outgrowth of purity. This is the blessing conferred by God. We always say you should always have one hand on your joy monitor and your peace monitor. We've said that before, right? A little bug here. Sorry. And we know Romans 14 tells us that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness. That means your right standing with God, your right relationship with God, a good position with God. Peace and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about it on Sunday. Count it all joy. You got to make sure your joy monitor and your joy level is up, particularly when you're in a bad spot or you're in a rough patch. Your joy level has to be up. Why does your joy level need to be up? Because you need to keep your faith in position while God is working out and working on your miracle. And the manifestation of your answer that you need or the promise that you need. Praise God. If you have no joy, you have no what? Strength. If you don't have no strength, you can't resist the temptation to go into fear, to get into frustration. And when you're in frustration, you're never in faith. To start fretting and worrying and getting concerned. And we think that's spiritual, but that's really unspiritual. Unspiritual wisdom tells you, have a pity party. Pout about this. Get in pride over this. I mean, that devil's a slick devil. He'll get you into those places and you start being proud of the fact that you're moody and mad and sad. But you're fueling hell's agenda, not heaven's. That's why it has to be peaceable. That means that peace monitor needs to be where I have a peace in my heart. I have a peace in my mind. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. in Psalms, it talks about the Lord bringing forth his people with joy and leading them forth with peace. When there's peace, then there's God leading you. When you have a peace about it, when you're trying to decide about a car purchase, or you're trying to decide about this decision, or that purchase this, or that, you got to check your peace monitor. Wisdom from God will help you distinguish and discern and decide, this is God, because I have peace about it. It's peaceable. Everybody say peaceable. Number three is gentle. We just read it. Strife comes from following the world's wisdom. But gentleness is a characteristic of God's servants. You know, when people get under pressure and they experience problems, sometimes they get mean and moody and mad, and they barking and biting. They bark, bite, and bitter is not heaven's wisdom. When you bark, you bite, and you're bitter, it comes from below. That's number three. Number four. Everybody keeping up with me? Everybody good? Willing to yield. This phrase could also be translated willing to take instructions. Now, what's the opposite of people who are willing to take instructions? Hard-headedness and hard-heartedness. We said it before, pride is the strength of sin. And pride is resistant to submission. Pride is the strength of sin, but also pride is resistance to submission. So you won't submit to counselor or guidance. You're too proud in your thoughts and your knowledge. I know enough about this. I know what to do. I know I can handle it. I know. And so you won't go to someone and say, I'm hitting my head against the wall here. I'm not connecting. And I'm going to go to a wise counselor. I'm going to get some input. I'm going to get some insights from others. I'm going to get somebody that can impart to me where I may be missing it. Because wisdom from God will always tell you the key issue you're dealing with, the root cause of the problem or the pain. Are you listening to me? But some people aren't willing to yield. They have that haughtiness and arrogance and that stubbornness. And they say, I don't want to bend or bow the knee to someone else to let them know I need them help. I need to listen to what they got to say. Why? Usually because we're grown. We think I'm old enough to do what I want to do. So we do what? We hit our head against the wall. Bang, bang. But that's not wisdom from God, to be all haughty and arrogant and prideful and stubborn. Number five, full of mercy and good fruits. Everybody say full of mercy and good fruits. All right, we may have to spray for bugs around here. I'm seeing too many. All right. Praise the Lord. Godly wisdom, like our love, must be demonstrated in word and truth. Now, here's the opposite of that. When people shut down and shut away, and they cut off from connecting to anybody or the church, the ultimate thing is they stop coming to church, and they stop giving as much of their time, talent, treasure, or their testimony to the kingdom of God and to the local church of God. They stop giving that much because they're not full of good mercy or good fruits. Mercy is a term, Old Testament and New Testament, of covenant love and compassion. Compassion is what you show and what you give to other people. So when you're not full of mercy and good fruits, it's just the opposite. Amen. That's why the Bible talks about greet one another with a kiss of charity. kiss of charity is a kiss of love or a kiss of mercy. That means I don't care what you're going through, sister or brother. I don't care what you're experiencing right now. We're going to love you with the love of the Lord. We're for you. We're with you. You're down in your deepest, darkest pit. But hey, we coming after you because we love you. You don't say, uh-oh, I don't want to be bothered with them. Everybody say, full of mercy and good fruit. Six. Number six. Y'all keep me straight. Without partiality. Those who possess heavenly wisdom do not discriminate against others, nor are they uncertain within themselves. They do not take a position in one circumstance and then change their position when the circumstances change. We talked about that in chapter 2. But you got to remember, sometimes you can be partial based on your problems or your pain. I'm hurting. I'm heavy of heart. So now I become impartial. So I stop showing love and showing compassion to others. Why? Because I want it for me. Oh, this is good stuff. This has set us free. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then number seven, without hypocrisy. This is what the Bible says. Everybody say, thank God for the word of God. So the hypocrite says one thing but does another. Wisdom from above is sincere and real. No game playing. No mask wearing. No acting like I'm spiritual. I'm really not. Sometimes the spiritual acting is just a masquerade of pride. Because all of us have a responsibility to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We to serve God in humility and meekness and fear. That means godly reverence. Godly reverence. That means, you know, I might not know the song, but I'm gonna humble myself and praise. We have to humble ourselves and pray. People that don't pray usually don't humble themselves because they're too important in their own lives to pray. We have to humble ourselves and praise. We have to humble ourselves and partner with others. So because it's not about meanness, me, myself, and I, it's about we-ness. We're not gathered together to make ourselves look good. We're gathered together to make God look good and make Jesus look good. Come on now, because Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. We don't take on tasks, projects, or partnerships in pride to make it look at me. Look at what happened to me. Look at what I'm doing. We ought to be showing the world, look at what God's doing. Look at what Jesus is doing. Look at what the Lord is doing in our community. Without hypocrisy. What did he call the religious folks? You scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. That means they had fake faith. They had phony spirituality. So heaven's wisdom, one of the two wisdoms that we need to be getting every day, is one that people are understanding. They understand what time it is. They understand what the Lord is saying and doing, what the words say. They're concerned about others, and they're demonstrating wisdom of heaven in these seven areas. All right, let's go to the other one. The other wisdom. Y'all ready? All right. Good stuff tonight. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom is people who are estranged from God and his distant fellowship and connection with other Christians and the church. They're estranged from God and in distant fellowship and connection with other Christians and the church. You got to manage yourself. And when you find yourself skipping church and it really doesn't bother you, skipping out on the things of God, and it doesn't bother you, and then you don't have really, really close connections, you're getting further from connecting closely with other Christians and staying accountable, staying agreeable, and staying in alignment with others, because it's not about me, it's about we. That's the first sign of earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom. Because we think, I don't need them. I don't need to talk to them. I don't need to call nobody. I don't need to text nobody. Now, I know some people get a little bothered because I send out emails and texts. Why? Because our connectivity is so important. When you disconnect, you start to decommit from Christ. Your salvation is personal, but it's never private. There's no such thing as privatized Christianity. We're accountable to each other. We're accountable to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're assigned to build his church along with him building us so we can build a church. And so we build it through relationships, not in isolation or independence. We build through people and blessing people and benefiting other people. We got to be big on other people. The world teaches us to be big about ourselves, to build our brand, to blast about us, not about God. To broadcast about what we do, not what he's done. Are you listening to me? And we can just follow that same current culture of the world and really promote our three favorite people. And we don't know, we're masquerading pride. Me, myself, and I. That's right. So that's the second step of, or trait of earthly, sensual, demonic. It's selfishness. Talk about what I want to talk about. Talk about what's going on with me. Talk about what's going on. We never step into a relationship encounter with someone else and ask, how are you doing? You know, I've been praying for you. Encouraging words. We talked about words last time. Words that encourage others. How may I pray for you? What's happening with you? Good to see you. I love you. Thank you. Those are unselfish words. Then number three, reflecting the wisdom of Satan. And what's the wisdom of seven? What does it fuel? Envy and selfish ambition. And it fuels selfish ambition. You got a whole bunch of people in a assembly, because that's what he's addressing. He's addressing people in the church that are all doing their own thing and trying to do their own way. Do it their own way. I'm going to worship God my own way. I'm going to serve God my own way. I'm going to do my own ministry my own way. Now, everybody has a uniqueness, but we also have a unity command. Psalms 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Because it brings power and pleasure. It's like the anointing that runs down the beard of Aaron, even to the border of the skirts. This is anointing supposed to run from the head down. It's the anointing that makes things work. And when there's no peace and no wisdom and no honor, then what? The anointing stops up. God drops the anointing from heaven, and then it stops up. When peace leaves, esteem leaves. And we get dry. And we go through droughts of unanswered prayer. And the lack of miracles, signs, and wonders. And manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And the promised answers of his word. And the provision that we need to carry out his agenda and fulfill his assignment for our lives. Things go lacking and slacking because the wisdom and peace is lacking. Envy is You know, you got to think of it bigger than selfish, than jealousy, because I know some translations just translate it jealousy. They say, well, I'm not jealous of it. But when you're combative and competitive and comparing, you're in envy. I'll say it again. When you're combative, competitive, and comparing, you're in envy. When you're coming back, clapping back, and criticizing, you're in envy. The Bible says in Acts, they through envy crucified Jesus. Why? Because they were combative. They didn't want to come to his meetings. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They were comparing. They said, what wisdom do you have that you're doing all these works? Why are you healing on the Sabbath day? Why are you doing all these great works? Who told you you can do this stuff? You didn't go to our schools. You don't look like us. You don't hang around with us. And he called them what? Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. When you're combative, when you're comparing and when you're competing against others, you are envying. The envy can set in and you hadn't even done nothing, but it can set into your soul when you look at people, what people are doing, where people are going, what people are showing on social media, and now envy fills your heart. I want to do that. I want to have that. Why do they have that and I don't have that? You hadn't said a word, but it's already working inside of you. It's that punitive zeal. It is that competitive jealousy. It'll cripple a church. It'll cripple a family. Because instead of completing each other, they are competing against each other. It can destroy a marriage because instead of completing each other, you're competing against each other. There's competition, one-upmanship, one woman, one-upmanship, just use that word, to pull one another down. It's like crabs in a bucket. When we were on the East Coast, you watch crabs in a bucket. They would always pull each other down so none of the crabs would crawl out. So you pull each other down or you contribute to the downfall or the demise, not by being in front of them, but by not loving them and not blessing them. See, you don't have to do nothing but not do what you're supposed to do. It's so-and-so's time to honor them. Or, you know, Pastor Appreciation Month or recognition. I'm just using that as an example. I'm not making it personal or anything. They don't need nothing. I don't have everything I need. I'm not going to give them nothing. Their birthday, I need stuff. Why am I going to give them something? When you're combative, they don't look like they need nothing. When you're comparing, when you're competing, you're in envy. When you're conflictual, when the conflict manifests in words or deeds, you're in strife. You are selfish and self-seeking and selfish ambition. That's earthly sensual demonic wisdom. Wisdom of the world was spawned in the bosom of Satan, who lied and continues to lie. He continues to lie in 2022 against the truth of God's word. Because what does he tell you? He's telling you and I the same thing. And I like how Brother Lou brought it up in prayer. You know, devil doesn't take a day off. He's going to lie to you every day. Has God really said that? That's what he told Eve, didn't he? When he began to deceive her, has God really said, no, he just meant if you eat that, you're going to be like God. That means you're going to be smart like God. He's the only wise God. There's no other God like our God. That's why we got to go to him for wisdom. But see, instead of Eve doing that and Adam doing that, they listened to who? Wisdom from below. Because he came in as a serpent. Sneaky, slimy, and said, you know, did God really say that? Did he know you're going to be wise? He tempted them with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's all that's in the world. That's why he told us, don't love the world or the things that are in the world. Because all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these things are not of God, but they're of the world. So you got to watch how much time are you just doing worldly things and not kingdom things. Are y'all here? Y'all going home? Y'all had enough already? Worldly wisdom promises knowledge but produces disobedience. We always say you know enough to be dangerous. You know enough to Google everything and just be rebellious. Because Google said, because they said on Facebook. It produces disobedience. It seeks to please the body or sensual instead of pleasing God and creates chaos and strife and is powered by the forces of hell. Those who operate by the world's wisdom cannot understand spiritual things because they have to be spiritually understood. We need the help of God and the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the wisdom of God. We can't think we get so educated or experienced that we're smart enough to outsmart God or outsmart and work around the things of God. God has a plan and he has a purpose for everything. We can't circumvent his plan. James 3:16 said, for where there's envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil work are there. That verse in itself it should tell us, scream very loudly, that this is a direct manifestation of Satan. You don't have to ask, well, where's the devil? He's right there. When there's envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition or strife. Amen. Worldly wisdom will do anything to promote itself. No, I want this. I want this. So you got to even watch yourself when you're really controlling. If you have controlling tendencies, you need to be spending time on the altar. Because a lot of times you push God out from and the Lord out from being Lord. And you call the shots instead of allowing him to call the shots. Instead of being a peacemaker, you become a troublemaker. And if you're controlling, you really don't want nobody else to tell you what to do. Because you're the big boss with the hot sauce. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. Hallelujah. So worldly wisdom will do anything to promote itself, even to the injury of others. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to get what I want. Or there's what? Hell to pay for everybody else. Sadly, it was even in amongst the disciples who argued for a place of honor in the kingdom. I'm not telling anything outside the Bible. They were arguing almost indignant about who was going to take first place or take the first seat next to Jesus. That wasn't kingdom passion. That was selfish ambition. And hell's wisdom promotes and fuels selfish ambition. Heaven's wisdom promotes kingdom passion and fuels kingdom passion. That means you get more turned on and more turned up for God. You don't get cooled off and calmed down and fall back from God. You get closer to him. You get more on fire for God. You can just measure it that way. You can just say, am I more on fire for God? Am I more committed to God? Am I more connected to the things of God and the people of God? Or am I falling back? Two consequences of earthly sensual demonic wisdom, confusion, and every evil thing. Literally, every worthless work. When it says every evil thing, every worthless work. So what does that mean? That means everything I'm doing is worthless. And we even said when we talk about faith and without works, faith without works is what? Dead. It's worthless. A worthless, workless faith is a worthless faith. A workless faith is a worthless faith. That means my faith is doing nothing. My faith is foolish because all I'm thinking about is me, myself, I. I'm running out of time. All right, Lord, help me where I stop. Okay. All right, let's read Proverbs 4, 5, and 6, 7. Get wisdom. Everybody say, get wisdom. Everybody say, I got to get wisdom. It said, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, or forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her. I'm reading out of King James Version. And she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We need to understand that wisdom is the principal thing, first and foremost. Whenever I have problem, pain, or pressure, wisdom is the primary thing. It's not a principal thing or primary thing. It is the principal thing. That's why he told us in James 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If you don't know what to do, what to decide, where to go, when to do something, why you're doing it, the timing of it, how to do it, you need to ask for wisdom. What if I do? You know, this is broken down. This doesn't work anymore. I need to get it fixed. I need this. Ask for wisdom. Because if not, you're going to go and you might inadvertently or unmistakenly and even perhaps unknowingly partner with the devil and get wisdom from somewhere else. And you think you're smart because I got information now. But you don't have revelation. You don't have revelation of the key issue or the key root cause. True wisdom comes from God and God alone. That's the second thing you need to understand. And then heavenly wisdom fuels your heart and focuses your mind on kingdom passion and eternal purposes. But in contrast, earthly sensual demonic wisdom fuels your heart and focuses you on selfish ambition or strife. So you need three types of wisdom you need from heaven, or three compartments of it. Wisdom for the day that you're facing, wisdom to live by, and wisdom for the marketplace to deal wisely in the affairs of business and the market and legal matters. Y'all know all these scam calls, robocalls, telemarketing calls. They all trying to take advantage of you and take your money. But you need wisdom on what to say and what to do in those situations. When somebody trying to scam you or shame you. And then number two, you need wisdom to live by. Now, how do I live as a husband? Why? How do I dwell with my husband? Why? How do I live? How do I treat my kids now that maybe they're in a different place, in a different position in life? Because you got to have wisdom with your words and your actions. Praise God. You need the wisdom for the day you're facing. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen by 6 o'clock today or 8 o'clock today, but I'm asking you for an abundant supply of skillful, godly wisdom for the day. In Jesus' name, I believe that I receive wisdom from God. Amen. Wisdom is knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and when to follow up by doing it, and the ability to live life skillfully. I'm just going to read these off real quick, and then I'll close. Wisdom is a combination of knowledge, understanding, and action. Everybody say knowledge, understanding, and action. It produces a strategy, and a strategy produces success and increase. If you're stuck, if you're bored, if you're complacent, then you're probably not acting from the wisdom of God. Because wisdom is the instrument of creativity. God's always creating new ways and new miracles and new blessings in your life. But you don't just sit back and wish for these things to happen. You've got to use your faith and work them to happen. Work with God for them to happen through the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Wisdom helps you discover, discern, and determine the key issue, the root cause of to a problem, pain, pressure, or predicament you fall in and find yourself facing. We ought to check one another in a healthy, loving Christian way. What's the Lord telling you about your situation? Now, if you don't have a word from God, nor the wisdom through the word of God, then you operate in opposite of wisdom, which is foolishness. Because you can be in faith or foolishness or presumption. Some people haven't got a word from God. They just praying and hitting the wall. Just throwing everything up. In the name of Jesus, devil, stop. I rebuke you in the name. No faith, but just foolishness or presumption. Faith either operates on the word of God revealed to your heart or a word from God, which is a rhema, to your heart. Oh, this is good stuff. Praise the Lord. Wisdom from God produces discernment, direction, discretion, details, and divine timing. Proverbs 2, 6, and 7, King James Version. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now, wisdom helps and leads us into divine purpose, our divine purpose, and in the plan of God for our lives. We've said it before, a career is what you're paid for, but a calling is what you're made for. When people don't know what they want, it's a problem. You got to watch pronouncing and announcing that you're bored, that you're bothered, that you're bitter. When you don't know what you want, it's a problem of insufficient knowledge. What do I do? Well, it's not just sit on your blessed assurance. Faith is movement. Faith is motion. Faith is motion activated. Hallelujah. So when you don't know what to do, you got to pray the Ephesians 1 prayer. Because I need wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. Everybody say wisdom and revelation. Of the hope of his calling and the riches of your inheritance and the exceeding greatness of his power. You need to know that God's powerful. Amen. And he's giving you that power. When people don't pursue what they want, it's a problem of motivation. So your problem could be insufficient knowledge. I don't know enough. I don't understand it enough. Or a problem of motivation. What do? I need to pray Colossians 1 prayer. You need patience to deal with people that will try to demotivate you. There's always going to be somebody trying to cool off your fire and calm down your passion. When you need long suffering to deal with the problems that people try to use to discourage you. Well, you got this wrong, this problem, that problem. You need joy to deal with the pressures that try to drain you of your spiritual strength and stamina. When people don't achieve what they want, it's often a problem of persistence. What do I do? Because y'all probably read if you did read the email, about, I sent it out a couple times, keep striking the ground because God said people aren't necessarily losing the test, failing the test of faith or the test of obedience. They're failing the test of persistence and determination. That means keep striking the ground. The prophet of God got mad at the king because he shot the arrow. He did what he told him, and he struck the ground 3 times. He said, you should have struck the ground 5 to 7 times. Then you would have completely broke through and destroyed your enemies. But people fail the test of persistence and determination, but they don't keep striking the ground. Or in other words, they don't keep praying in tongues. They don't keep confessing the word. They don't quit. They quit asking for wisdom. They quit praying in the Holy Ghost long enough to tap into the wisdom of God. They quit being still before God until God says, this is what you do. This is when you do it. And this is how you do it. See, all these three items can be addressed once we discover our dominant gift, God's grace, God's place, God's plan, God's purpose for our life. See, you may leave your comfort zone, but don't ever leave your gift zone. Every one of us are good at something. And God gives us wisdom on how to use and maximize and optimize and utilize that gift. Wisdom trusts the journey. The journey not only teaches us wisdom, but also enables us to internalize it. It's not really about just really about what you do in life. It's about who you become in life. Become in the process of what you do. Wisdom helps you discover and follow God's best path and plan for your life. Because he might tell you, don't get that job because that's not part of my plan or part of my path for your life. Wisdom plans ahead. You don't get what you want in life, you get what you prepare for. Preparation is the greatest evidence that we believe something is better coming in our lives. Faith prepares, faith gets ready. The bigger that something is going to be, the more time we need to prepare for it. Wisdom tells us that the time to be ready is not the same time to get ready. Some people are just last minute, late, always Christians. They never show up on time. They never show up ahead of time. Or early. That's just a problem of lack of preparation. Well, praise God. I'm preaching real good tonight. Hallelujah. We are not to live lives according to our God. We're to live lives according to our God-ordained purpose, God's ordered plan, not others' ideas or intentions. And two things that wisdom will help you do that will dramatically reduce your fear of doing anything is preparation and practice. Some people just like the sports figure who said, practice? Why do I need to practice? It's because people don't practice their gift. And they don't prepare for God to use them in their giftedness. Wisdom plans ahead. Wisdom creates winning habits. Habits shape character, and character determines our destiny. Success is an idea, a great deal to do with our habits. Amen. Success is found in daily routines. Come on, stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hand to God right now and ask him for the heavenly wisdom that you need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, forgive us for the wisdom that we've operated in from below, that we mistakenly stumbled in from hell. But, Father, we're asking for the wisdom from heaven. All of us have a bright future. There's a bright future.